Hey, thank you to Helix for sponsoring this podcast. Adam has had his Helix mattress for almost a year now, and he's loving it. It's actually hard to get him up. In fact, he won't stop talking about it. You'll understand what we mean when he goes into detail. Thank you for the detail, Adam, later on the episode. But for now, we want to tell our listeners about a special deal going on. Our Sleepy Time Pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and, as if that's not enough, two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula. That's helixsleep.com/Paula. This is their best offer yet, and I'll bet it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
Ascertain?
Yes.
Okay. Ascertain.
Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why do you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.
Coming to you live from the Ray Horseman Studio in North Hollywood, California, it's Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, your comedy field guide to life. On today's show, Elizabeth Taylor said money is the best deodorant. If that's true, how can young people start smelling good? Financial planner Stephen Rochelle is here to advise all of us, young and old, the best way to save and plan for the future. Wait, I was supposed to have a plan? Anyway, also Jeremy Frank, associate chorus master at the Los Angeles Opera, will coach Paula on singing the toughest tune in the Great American Songbook, our national anthem. Oh, say, can you see her hitting a high F? I'm not sure she can. I'm Adam Felber, the guy who tries to keep this show in tune and on tempo. And now, please welcome the woman whose arias can never be scored, Paula Poundstone.
Thank you very much.
Welcome, Paula. And thank you to tonight's amazingly dignified house band, oboist Rachel Van Amberg.
Very dignified.
Yes.
You know, Rachel, I have to tell you, well, A, I don't play the oboe, and I know that shocks you.
Shocks me.
But I went to an eye doctor who told me that I have glaucoma, and she said, now I'm going to tell you the things you can't do. And the first thing she said was, you can't play the oboe.
Why? Or did she just know that you can't play the oboe?
I think she was just criticizing.
Yeah. You weren't pulling that old joke, Doc, will I ever play the oboe again?
Prior to that, I hadn't really felt like I wanted to play the oboe, but
right.
As soon as I heard, I couldn't.
It's so specific, too.
There was a mourning or longing that was set up. Yeah, it is.
She let you know something you didn't know you wanted.
Yeah. Is it because you're pushing air through like a really small thing? And so do your eyes bug out when you play the oboe?
Yeah, there's a crazy amount of pressure in your head. And we also have to make our own reeds or mouthpieces. And that requires...
What do you mean you make your own reeds? And
yeah,
that requires your...
bamboo, yeah. So we scrape
But
them.
What do you think the eye doctor was saying? Was it because of the...
I mean, I think he was just trying to protect you from a lot of...
Because wouldn't the trumpet bug your eyes out, too?
Yeah, I mean, all wind instruments require a lot of air and breath support. So.
There was a whole band in her waiting room.
Really?
Yeah.
She must have been like a member of like Eye Doctors Against Wind Instruments.
Yeah, there was like a whole horn section, and they all had white canes, and they were just tapping,
right.
Tapping. I had to steer.
That might be why so many blues musicians are blind. It's the harmonica.
It's definitely not the... No, I don't think it
Bob
takes...
Bob Dylan wears sunglasses. I don't think he sees too well.
Oh, yeah, no.
And he never actually learned to play the harmonica.
His daughter used to live down the street from me, and Bob Dylan was forever bumping into me. I don't think he sees...
Oh, no, he can't see at all.
Yeah, I don't think he sees.
We've never exchanged Bob Dylan stories. My mom roomed in college with Bob Dylan's wife, one of his wives.
Yeah. Narrow that down.
Yeah, it, I can. It was Sarah.
Yeah. Yeah, there it is. Yeah.
There it is. Now, Paula, we had a fun time this weekend, didn't we?
You we had me? A great time.
I'm segueing as masterfully as I know how.
That was really masterful. The Paula Poundstone ping pong party.
The Paula Poundstone ping pong party. The quadruple or quintuple P.
It was so much fun. And it poured rain on us.
It was very rainy,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, which everybody was soaked. That was part of the joy of it. But I got to tell you, part of the reason I especially enjoy a ping pong party is that you have a job, you have a task. Now, I have too many tasks on that night. I'm supposed to be the hostess, which I kind of suck at. And then also, we do a doubles tournament, and I have to keep the doubles tournament running.
Which you do very, very well.
Well, thank you. I've often thought, because I don't talk to enough of my guests, and I know that, you know the pain of that, having me not talk that much around you.
Yes. It's a curse I deal with all the time. If I could only get you to open up a little bit, we could have a real podcast here.
I've often thought that I should hire someone to run, you know, someone from like Park and Rec or something to run the tournament.
To run a tournament?
But I'm worried it would be like a guy with like an Army-Navy feel.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Oh, yeah, no. It has to feel this.
Somebody with a whistle.
Is it possible that you're running the tournament, though? Because we've talked about this a little bit. Is it possible that you're running the tournament so that you can avoid talking to people at the party?
I would say that running the tournament is more of a strength than talking to people. I can get off to a flying start, although this time I was actually in the shower when a lot of the guests began to arrive.
Right, and so which is ironic since it was already raining outside.
Yeah, no, I took a shower and I said to them as they came through the bathroom, I said, come on in, take a seat, get a towel. And and for those of you who feel the need, an eye shade. So
what's amazing here is that I can't even really segue you to a topic that you wanted to discuss tonight. I've just been setting it up on the tee, waiting for you to hit it, isn't the thing that we were going to talk about how that you're not good at party conversation?
I'm not good at party conversation.
You're not good at vodka conversation either, apparently.
No, because I think that's the thing. As a conversationalist, I like to really spread out.
Yes.
And I can't do that.
Right.
Like when people come in, like, should we practice? Should we practice?
Oh, you mean social conversation?
Yeah.
Well, it is a skill, and I'm actually pretty good at it.
Are you?
So, yeah, do you want to? Yes, I'm
very
good
practice.
At social conversation. Here we go. So let's pretend we're having a party conversation.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, so why don't I start?
So you say something, and we'll have a conversation.
Okay. Hi.
Hi. See, now that wasn't very successful. Yeah, I think what you need might be referred to as a follow-up question. You know, something like, how are you? You want to try that?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Okay. Whew, I'm a little nervous to be
all right, we're at a party.
You. Okay.
You see me.
Yeah, yeah. Adam, hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Okay.
Is that where I would jump in again?
I'm going to term that a limited success, I think.
Yeah. I would. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, honestly, mm-hmm. I thought I was bad at party conversation. I realize now it's you.
That's not true.
Okay is not a great...
Well, we were trying to improve your conversational skills, not mine.
Yeah, but you told me you had really good party conversational skills. How you doing? Okay.
Well, if I steer the conversation right now, you're never going to learn anything. You're just going to ride along on the raft of my virtuosic party chat.
My problem is that I've never actually been okay. That's part of my problem. So people go, how are you? And I begin to tell them.
That's right. That's
true
about
you. And that seems to be where it falls apart.
Yeah, because it gets really sad quickly.
Yeah. No. So I just was talking. When I was driving over here tonight, I was talking to my high school English teacher on the phone in the car. And she said.
This is going to end with her being terminally ill or something,
no,
right?
No. Okay. She's good. But she said, how are you? And I said, well, most days I'm sad and some days I'm more sad. That's.
And yeah, then nobody wants to hear
and
that.
And then there was a long pause while I just drove on the 101.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because nobody wants to hear that. That's why people have, like, therapists like
ask?
Bonnie thinks you have.
Why do they ask if they don't want to know?
Well, they want to show concern, but it's
phony.
Here's something that I do.
Yeah.
Ask me how I'm doing, because I've had kind of a rough couple
weeks. I just did ask you, and you said, okay.
But we were doing fake party chat.
No, I wasn't. Okay. All right. Adam, how are you?
I've had a rough couple of weeks, but, you know, the good news is that Baz and Vivian, my kids, are getting really into their piano lessons now, and I'm really proud of them. Now, you see what I did? I honestly told you how I'm doing, but I changed the conversation to something a little less unpleasant than, you know,
Yeah, but there's nowhere to go with that.
The hail of rats falling
around.
So
what was I supposed to say? Like, do they do...
How's your drum lessons going?
Hot cross buns? So I was supposed to one-up your kids with my drum lessons? So
no,
you say, my kids are really getting into their...
If I was trying to make a conversation, I would then segue to your drum lessons if you show no interest in my kids.
All right, so you go, my kids are doing good at their piano, and I'm supposed to go, I'm really good at my drum lessons.
No.
Yeah.
No, you're not getting this. You're not getting this at all.
That's not good party conversation.
I would wait like a millisecond, and then if you didn't pick up on the things going like, you know, I took piano lessons as a kid or something like that, I'd probably segue to something like your drum lessons.
This explains why when a lot of people come to my ping pong party, they just come in, they pick up a paddle, and they start to play.
I'm
going to
do that from now on.
No one talks. It's just totally quiet, but all year.
Yeah.
That was my...
I didn't get to play this time around.
You played? I saw you play.
No.
You played in a game?
Didn't
you?
No.
Oh, I thought you did.
Must have been some other bald guy in the rain.
Yeah. Oh, I remember talking to that guy. Yeah.
How did that conversation go?
He's okay.
All right. Hey, I noticed something else.
What's that?
When I came to your house, I was walking my son to your door in the rain on the sidewalk, and I had to walk around a giant partition.
Oh,
and then through
the neighbors.
Some like tall grass.
The
because
neighbors.
There's apparently some kind of mansion being built next door to you.
They are. They're building a huge mansion, and they did that shitty thing that people do. I'm sure some tax evasion purposes. They said that they were doing a remodel.
Can we hold on a minute?
What happened?
I want everybody to kind of like rewind the tape. And listen to what we're dealing with in here.
What is
that? That was Bonnie Burns, your manager,
slash producer.
My nemesis, taking photos of us, and she has not turned off the shutter click sound on her phone.
Oh, so it was making a click sound?
Yeah. Oh. Bonnie, take another picture. I want to hear that.
Okay.
Listen close, everybody.
I'm used to that from the paparazzi.
Yeah.
And that was hard for you to deal with?
It was a little distracting. She's a master of distraction.
So when you say you've had a rough couple of weeks, it could have been just that?
It was just that.
Yeah. Like,
that was it.
That shutter noise just goes right to your heart,
man. It really does.
Wow.
It's rough.
Yeah.
All right, your next door neighbors.
So my next door neighbors, they did that terrible thing. They bought this house that's got to be a shitload of money anyways, but it was a lovely little house. And they said that they were doing a remodel.
A remodel.
So they
a
left
renovation.
Up one wall. And apparently the construction company that they've been using for 2 years now, this has been going on, it's a construction company called All Jackhammer and Air Compressor Construction.
Is that an accurate name?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all they use is a jackhammer and...
You're saying there's noise.
Air. There's a lot of noise.
And it sounds like they're getting around local ordinances by pretending a rebuild is a remodel.
Right, exactly. So here's the thing that I don't feel good about. It's really starting to piss me off. Well, it's been pissing me off for about 2 years now. They gave me cookies in a little bag. They gave me...
This is why you're having a rough patch.
Hold on. Let me just get a picture
of
you.
That's why you're sad. Oh, come on.
No, they gave me cookies with a little note that said, thanks for your patience.
Oh.
And I'm like, you know, I should make some cookies myself and put them over on their construction nightmare with a note saying, I have no patience.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought the cookies was a very pleasant story, and you were being curmudgeonly right up to the point where they assumed your patience by thanking you for it, when in fact you're tearing your hair out.
Yeah, thanks for your patience. Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't feel that way.
No.
Man, I can't wait for them to move in, because I'll tell you something. I don't care if I fucking go blind, I'm playing the oboe every morning.
Wow.
Right out my goddamn bathroom window.
And that's interesting, because you already have a drum kit.
Well, that's a good
point. And you play the drums, which is arguably, now I'm going to defer to Rachel Van Amberg on this, but Rachel, isn't a drum kit louder than an oboe?
Well, ostensibly yes, but when I first started playing the oboe, when I practiced, my dad originally thought it was geese in the yard. And so...
that's the name of your new album, isn't
geese
it?
In the yard.
Geese in the yard.
It's just called Van Amberg, Geese in the Yard.
Geese in the Yard.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, I mean, I'm not good at the drums unless you're comparing me to your kids on the piano. But I'm not good at the drums, but...
Sorry, kids.
Hot cross buns, baby.
They're not playing hot cross
buns. They're playing hot cross buns. Yeah,
okay.
That's the opening. That's the, you know, that she's going all the way to Carnegie Hall with hot cross buns.
One day.
Yeah, but see, I actually probably play the drums better than I would ever play the oboe. And so I think
blind.
The oboe, yeah. The idea that I sacrifice my vision in order to make things clear to the neighbors. I think that's a good idea. I tell you what, I'm not inviting them to any ping pong parties.
Well, you're not going to have to invite them to your ping pong party because they're going to have a great view. They've got that second floor
thing.
It just thing.
Towers yeah. over. Yeah.
You know, Paula, I want to segue again because I'm good at it. And if I keep saying it, it's going to work. You know, we have, this is our second week with a new sponsor. And our sponsor for the podcast this week is, once again, the great people at Withings, creator of the Wi-Fi Smart Scale.
Oh, yeah. Smart Scale.
Yes.
Yeah. The scale I have now just says, get off!
Yeah, no. This is a smart one. This one
is a lot smarter.
No. In case you broke your New Year's resolutions in 10 seconds, many of us did, this Withings Smart Scale. Now, it's not just me that loves it. I've got it. I've unboxed it. There's apparently one coming to your house. It's our producer, Tony Anita Hall, just loves Withings Smart Scale. She's had it for a couple of years.
What does it do?
What does it do? It's got Wi-Fi. It takes your pulse. It keeps track of your weight. It tells you your body mass index, your BMI, to let you know how you're improving and where your health is going.
I love that idea.
And it sends all that data to your phone automatically. It's kind of a set it and forget it kind of thing. If you get on the scale in the morning, it's keeping track of you.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I know. It's nice when we have these sponsors that I can really dig.
You can actually say you should do this.
You should do this because you should totally do this. And here's the thing that's even more important or as important that you do. If you visit withings.com/Paula, you can find out all about this. We'll get credit for you finding out all about this. And there's an offer of 30% off any body composition scale.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
But they have to use the Paula code, right?
It's Withings, W-I-T-H-I-N-G-S, Withings, as in with things, .com/Paula, P-A-U-L-A, which is easy to spell.
Sure, I knew that part.
Right.
I do love it that it's a company that we can actually say, yes, you should do this. For a while, we were, I'm not proud of this, but briefly, we were sponsored by Ed's dehydration pills.
Yeah, those were terrible.
Those were not a good idea.
I got a lifetime supply of it, and you know what I got to tell you? I don't like them.
No, looking back, I feel like we shouldn't have taken that sponsorship.
No. Ed's dehydration pills, I know this is not a good practice to shit on previous sponsors, but don't take Ed's dehydration pills, because that's exactly what they do.
Yeah, I took them. I couldn't pee for a week.
Yeah, why would we even take them? I
don't know,
understand.
Because they offered us, sponsorship.
Yeah. So Withings, if you're out there, withings.com/Paula, much better idea than www.edsdehydrationpills.com.
Yeah. Yeah, the pictures on that site.
It's horrifying. Desiccated husks of human beings.
So make sure that when you visit withings.com/Paula for a very special offer of 30% off any body composition scale. Is there more than one body composition?
There's a couple of different models.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't even realize.
I think there's ones that monitor even more things about your body.
Oh.
Tony Anita Hall is in the background nodding. What else does it monitor?
How much your bones weigh.
Bone
density.
Oh, my gosh.
How much fat you have. How much water you
have. It also gives you the weather. It tells you the outside temperature and the forecast on your little screen of the scale.
Oh, is that true?
When you wake up in the morning. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I know. We've now devoted half a show to this sponsor, but I think they're worth it.
Yeah.
But moving on, Paula.
We spent a lot of time on Ed's dehydration pills.
Yeah, that's true.
And that, I think we can
agree. They're not even paying us anymore.
It's a terrible mistake.
Terrible product. Hey, Paula, it's been almost a year now since I got my Helix mattress. And as you remember, there was some drama surrounding Helix mattresses.
Because
first sponsored us, Bonnie took the mattress and she's been loving it. But finally, I got my chance to get a Helix mattress and I sleep so well. I mean, the family bed is where we all gather. We watch movies in our room occasionally and everybody just piles on it and it's comfy. And yet when one person hops on, the other half of the mattress doesn't fly up. I'm a fan.
Well, you know, Adam, everybody is unique and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. Models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, enhanced cooling features to keep you from overheating at night. And if your spine needs some extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining individually wrapped steel coils in the base with premium foam layers on top. It is the perfect combination of comfort and support.
I agree with that last bit. I don't get all the technical stuff about the mattress, but it is soft and supportive. Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, the award-winning Lux, which I got, and ultra-premium Elite collections, the Helix Plus, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and the Helix Kids mattress, designed for growing bodies and endorsed by child sleep experts, and my daughter now wants one. So, how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? You go to their website, take the Helix sleep quiz, and you find your perfect mattress match in under 2 minutes.
You know, when you said you can't follow all the technical stuff, it's really not that technical. You know, no matter what way you sleep, they have a mattress that will support and comfort you. How hard is that?
You know, when you say it that way, it seems a lot simpler. I take it back. That's my boner.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door, free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Well, I like that there's a warranty, but they can pry that mattress from my cold, dead hands. I took the sleep quiz. I was matched with the Helix Midnight Lux. I got the Lux. And I love it. It is such an upgrade from my old mattress.
You know, I think Bonnie got the Midnight Lux.
She did.
Too.
Yeah.
You're not here. Don't want to take Adam's word for it? Well, you got Bonnie's word. Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Your sleepy time pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners.
That's a lot, and it's already not that expensive a mattress. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula.
That's helixsleep.com/Paula.
This is their best offer yet. It's fantastic. It won't last long.
With Helix, better sleep starts now. Well, not right now.
And if you're gonna get it anyway,
use our code.
Hey, Paula. You know, every once in a while we get a new advertiser that I get super excited about. And I have to say, just because of the circumstances of my life, right now I'm really excited about our new advertiser, Quince, of Quince.com, the clothing provider.
Not to be mistaken for Quince from Midsummer Night's Dream. And let me just say this, and maybe it's not important to an advertisement, but when I was in the fourth grade, our class put on a production of A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Okay.
And I played Peter Quince. There's the connection.
One of the mechanicals. That's a great connection. Also, yes, has nothing to do with this, which is that Quince is an online clothing store. And as you know, Paula, I've lost a little weight lately.
Oh, right.
75 pounds. Yeah. So I literally have no clothes that are in my size until I just ordered some stuff at Quince. And I figured, like, here's a chance for me to create a new look for myself. A whole new image.
And how's it going?
Not bad. I mean, the clothes are fantastic. I know that you ordered some too. What I got is yes. The Comfort Stretch Traveler 5-pocket pants. And I got the 100% European linen shirt, and it looks breezy and it fits beautifully. And these are like premium pieces of clothing that are selling for like, you know, $30 a piece or starting at $30 at quince.com. It's awesome. I look good.
I ordered the brushed lounge jogger.
Ooh.
And, you know, I put them on when I came back from New York. I pulled them on and I swear to you, okay, this is not scientific because I was tired already.
Right.
But they were so soft and so comfortable that honestly, like right as I got them up to my waist, I think my eyes closed. They're so, it's a softness. It's a kind of softness that I don't think I've ever experienced in a garment, honestly.
You know, my drawstring European linen trousers are a little bit like that, too. Like, so comfortable that I just want to hang out with myself.
Sure. Yeah. And they're European. Keep that in mind.
European. They are so European. And you can get those kinds. You can get washable silk tops. You can get 14-karat gold jewelry and, like, all these accessories.
Quince sells a lineup of timeless pieces that keep their customers looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm not certain that I look chic, but certainly if I did, it's not going to take a lot of effort.
I now look chic and I feel pretty great. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabric. It's all good as far as I can see.
Is it my imagination or do they cut out the middleman?
They cut out the middleman, Paula Poundstone.
I love it when they cut out the middleman. That's the thing, they cut out the middleman. That's fantastic.
So be like me and Paula. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/nobody for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince.com/nobody to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/nobody. And honestly, I look fantastic. Paula, you won't be able to keep your hands off me.
Oh, I can't wait. And don't think that if you had to return something, don't think you're sending it to a middleman because they cut out the middleman.
They cut out the middleman. That's quince.com/nobody. And if you're going to do it anyway,
use our code.
Yeah. Well, Paula, let's segue then to our first guest because we've left him sitting here for quite a while. Now
he's here waiting. Patiently waiting.
Now, you have frequently spoken of your fiscal woes on this program.
I'm not good in the area of personal finance, but I remember when I was 18 years old, I went to Orlando, Florida on a Greyhound bus, and because my dream was to work at Disney World as a bear, I wanted to be Baloo Bear in the parade. And,
okay, good, because you would never have gotten a job at the Country Bear Jamboree. That's animatronic.
No, those were animatronic.
Right.
Turns out.
Yeah.
And and I got one more thing to tell you. Lincoln's not alive.
Whoa!
So I did not get hired at Disney World. Instead, I got hired at the International House of Pancakes. I was flat broke. I walk 4 miles to work every night and walk home every morning. And
also
I had
4 miles.
The exact same 4 miles, other direction. And it was the Hooker Street. It was the Orange Blossom Trail in Orlando, Florida. And although I could have picked up a little money on the side that way, I chose not to. And I was so broke that I ate salt for dinner and then sugar for dessert every
night.
For real? Yeah, to save money. And,
so you were just thinking to yourself, well, if I were to have a dinner tonight, I'd want it to be salty, so I'll just eat salt.
Right.
And what's better after a nice salty dinner than...
Oh, I have to have sugar after.
Sugar.
Yeah.
That
it was to kill the craving.
Just, yeah.
And I kept my money, the little bit that I made, in a plastic egg.
Oh, the eggs.
Legs. So the point being that I had very little money, and my roommate at the time gave me a book about, it was part of like a 12-book series, but he gave me the first book of a series of books about finance. Like this was, if I just had this finance book, I'd be able to pull myself up by
everything.
The bootstraps, you know, and get some butter to go with that sugar. So anyways, my point being.
My point being that we are no closer to introducing this guest yet.
No, go ahead.
We want to go back to Ed's dehydration pills?
No.
Well, with all that in mind and context being offered in scads of context, Stephen Rishal is a certified financial planner with Navaline Wealth Partners, and we want to hear...
Wealth Partners.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. It's the dry stuff.
Partners in wealth. We want to hear what he has to say about savings, investing, and planning for our financial futures. Please welcome Stephen Rishal.
Hey, Stephen.
Welcome.
Hey, Paula. Adam, thanks for having me today.
Well, it's great to have you. And also, again, thanks to house band Rachel Van Amberg. All right, now...
You can hear I got a rocky financial start, Stephen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to the other 11 books.
Yeah. I don't think any one of them would have helped me turn my fortunes. And I've never really... I got to say, I still don't have a handle on it, such that now I have young adult children and I'm not even sure what to tell them. When I was a kid, what I was told was for a thumbnail thing, was you should pay a quarter of your income monthly for rent. You shouldn't rent a place that was higher than a quarter of your income. Is that still accurate? Is that what they tell people now?
Yeah, there's a lot of rules of thumb out there when it comes to making smarter decisions about the way you spend money. Being here in a place like Los Angeles, it's ungodly expensive to put a roof over your head and have fun and, you know, buy dinner and salt and sugar and all that
stuff. No doubt.
Yeah, exactly.
Generally speaking, you want to try to target somewhere between, no more than maybe 30 to at max 40% of your income going towards your household expenses. But again, in a place like a city like Los Angeles, San Francisco, New York, very difficult to do that. Oftentimes,
when you say household expenses, do you mean the rent or do you mean other
Primarily rent is going to be...
Are you including like water and electricity in the household expense?
Yeah, so you have rent and you're paying your bills for your electricity, add your internet to that now. All of your sort of household expenses...
Should be 30 to 40%.
Ideally, but that's not the case for most people these days.
I think that's more like 60 or 70 for most people. Yeah.
And that's what we're seeing happen more and more and more as the cost of living goes up.
Yeah, yeah. I recommend financially a paleo diet.
Financially.
Yeah, financially, which means when the sun goes down, go to bed.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, it's paleo.
I guess salt is paleo.
Is it? Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Every animal enjoys salt. Yeah. All right. So 30 to 40. Yeah. How does anybody do? Are you able to do that?
I'll be honest. Today, I got a mortgage. That's not cheap either. I got
today?
Other bills. Yep.
Oh, congratulations.
Well, today and on other days, I still have my mortgage. It's not going anywhere. I got another 28 years on that thing.
He means today is in this time of our lives.
In this time period of his life.
Yeah. Exactly.
Nowadays.
I thought he just got a mortgage. I was going to pass out cigars and stuff.
No, luckily, I got it a couple years ago when rates were a lot cheaper. I made a smart financial decision on that one.
Yeah. All right. So if you were advising, like, my young adult daughter... you would say 30 to 40% for, you know, like, I mean, she needs to be in an apartment.
And what else would you tell her? What else would you tell Paula's daughter?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think one of the biggest pieces of advice I give to anybody, especially young people, is you've got to take the time to increase your awareness about your finances. So you may not have a budget, you may not want to maintain a budget, but paying more attention to how you're spending your money and asking yourself the important question of why, right? Why am I buying these things? You start increasing your awareness about how you're spending money, how you're making money, the money that you may or may not have saved up in the bank. You start increasing your financial awareness, and I can almost promise you that you will start making different financial decisions.
Just
and
pay
change.
Attention. Be yeah, mindful attention. Of your money.
And you'll change
your
behaviors.
Have your mind on your money and your money on your mind.
That's right.
I write down every penny that I spend and every penny that I earn in a notebook.
Do you
And I
really?
Tape in the receipts. Yeah.
You do not.
I do too. I
every
just,
penny.
I posted a film of me doing it on Instagram.
These party size Hawaiian kettle style potato chips, sweet onion flavor.
Yeah.
That's in a book somewhere now.
Yeah. I didn't write the whole title. I just put...
Potato chips?
I just put snacks.
Snacks.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But I put
that's
like...
That's not very specific at all.
You know, that I got them at the... I forget. I think I got them at the BevMo.
Now, but this is good. What do you do with that book?
I read it. It's fascinating.
Steven, I'm going to shoot this over to you. How's Paula's fiscal planning, the book? Do you like the book?
I think it's impressive that you're actually tracking that, and to each his own. If you have a certain way you want to track it manually, you want to use an app on your cell phone, you want to use a spreadsheet on a computer. Bottom line, doing something about increasing your awareness about your finances. I'll ask you this, Paula. Have you noticed that the fatter that book gets, the more receipts you put in there? Does it ever make you want to maybe not put as many receipts in there and slow down on what you're spending on?
Well, the truth is the thing that the receipts are for are not really where the major amount of my money has gone. It's more big check items, you know, like kids.
So the expensive stuff you don't have receipts for, we don't keep those records.
No,
right?
I do. Mostly what's in there is credit card stuff so that I can itemize my credit card bill when it comes in. And then, of course, all my income. It's so that I can, you know, go.
This sounds more like a compulsive little habit than it sounds like a.
No,
like
it's been very
like
helpful.
A strong
I've been able,
approach.
When things break or something happens, I'm able to go right back and find the receipt. You know,
that's good.
North Face gave me new boots years later. Because my boots cracked somebody in Wilshire Boulevard with very little use. The other thing is that if the IRS ever comes out, I actually goad the IRS.
Oh, because you got the receipts.
Yeah, I actually go into the IRS office with like a wet towel. And
wow.
Just
see, I live in dread of the IRS
really.
Coming
Not
after me,
me, because I got
good
everything.
Good thing nobody listens to this podcast.
Yeah.
I say very
this
little.
This is the in-service for the IRS next week. During their
lunch break. If
you're
listening, guys, I dare you to come at Paula Poundstone.
Yeah, I'm very thorough. And I do feel it gives me a handle on what I do. And the other thing is, on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me one time, we learned about a study where counting money, even if it's not your own, gives you a dopamine hit.
Really?
Yeah. So I like saving. I'm not going to tell you I've saved a lot.
Okay.
But I do like saving.
She likes saving. Well, that's
all right.
Good.
And
I'm
going
to just kind of include our guest again here.
Yeah.
Now,
God, Stephen, you are good at that.
Yeah, I know.
Stephen, ask him how he is. Go ahead, Adam. Show him your talking skills.
Hey, Adam, how you doing?
I'm doing great because I'm talking to a fascinating expert in finances, who I'm going to ask another question to right now.
Fuck you, Adam. Fuck you.
Now, Stephen, what are some common mistakes that people make when it comes to finances?
I'd say one thing that a lot of people fall into, it's a behavioral bias called the herding mentality. So you might find this in yourself. Maybe there's someone that you looked up to growing up, a parent, a friend, someone that you thought was successful in their own right, someone that you felt had expertise or knowledge in maybe finances as an example.
Uh-huh.
And therefore, with your own financial situation, you find yourself kind of following their footsteps, which might not really be right for you.
Oh, wow.
And here's what that leads to. I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that a lot of people know about. Like, Paula, do you go to the bathroom every day?
Many times.
Okay.
She really does.
Yeah.
So you use a toilet, right?
Yeah, I have been.
And, you know, use the toilet, you know how it works, kind of goes down. But do you actually know how a toilet works?
No idea at all.
Well, that's weird because about 3 weeks ago, we had someone on this program who explained to you how a toilet works.
That's what I wanted to talk to you about later.
Okay.
The point
you
being...
You don't listen to us, do you?
No, I do. Nobody listens to Paul Poundstone.
The point being...
Where are you going with this toilet? Yeah.
You may not exactly know the way the toilet works, but it's something we take for granted and use every single day.
Yeah.
You don't need to be the expert in it, but you know that it functions and it works. Same thing with your money. You know that you spend money, you make money. You know that you can save your money and invest it, and you might have a general idea of what investing means. You might follow someone else's footsteps on how they're investing their own money. But they may not actually be an expert or know really what they are talking about.
Yeah.
And therefore, if you're just following them, it's the blind leading the blind. And that can lead to a lot of issues down the road.
I'm not sure I get the toilet connection here.
Well, that was a long shot, but I was trying to bring it back to something I think we'd all relate to.
We can all relate to toilets. That's
true. You know
what?
Stephen, I love you.
Thank you, Paula.
You see, he took the long way around to explain something. He took the time to take the longer road with more foliage and stuff to talk about.
And toilet paper.
And toilet paper. All right. So, should I be investing?
I think long term, if that's your mindset, you should always be investing your money one way or another. We need to think of everything that we do with our dollars as investing. So whether you're putting it in the bank, whether you're buying an asset like real estate, a home.
Or Hawaiian style onion potato chips.
That's right. You're investing in your appetite.
Okay.
Yeah. But the point being, everything we do with our money is an investment and some sort of a trade-off versus some of the thing that we won't be able to use that money for.
Yeah.
So if you've got a longer-term mindset, you need to have an investment game plan that is in line with that longer-term mindset. So think of just investing in the stock market recently. Stocks have had a tough time over the last few months, coming off a bad year in 2018 all of a sudden. But if you're saving this money for 10, 20, 30 years from now, does it really matter what's happened over the last 3 months or even the last year? No, it really doesn't if you've got a longer term mindset and you're saving for a longer term goal.
Okay.
Most of my money is in scotch tape and notebooks because, you know, I tape every receipt into a notebook. And those pile up after time.
Yeah, you see, I'm a little worried about that. It sounds like your strategy for keeping track of your money is actually costing you money. Stephen, is that wise?
You know, I'm going to go invest in the companies that make scotch tape and notebooks so that I can make money when Paula spends her money.
Man, I love
that is smart.
Adhesive strips. They're so cool. I love scotch tape, so I would invest in scotch tape. Just the idea that you just press it on and it holds something. Glue, on the other hand, could be so disappointing.
Glue is always disappointing because you want it to be fantastic. But even super glue is not super, is it?
No.
Stephen, your thoughts?
Super glue can be super dangerous.
There you go. Yeah. I love it that Stephen's name on his, what is it, on your Instagram is Smart Money Steve.
Yeah, tell me about Smart Money Steve.
So true story, I was at a conference, I do quite a bit of public speaking, and I realized on stage...
You got a great voice.
Thank you. People can't spell my name, because it's S-T-E-P-H-E-N, thanks, Mom.
Oh, the Greek way.
Yep, and then Rishal, which, good luck trying to figure that one out, right?
I failed.
There's an S-C-H in there, that's a little tip. So someone told me, hey, you need to have a sort of name that people can just hear and remember, and Smart Money Steve stuck, and I bet you everyone listening today knows how to spell at Smart Money Steve.
Oh, oh yeah. Wow. Yeah, you just worked as a plug in there, too. Fantastic.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
We have yet to give our Instagram addresses on this show.
Oh,
we're
is that
like
true?
Show 28. We've never really done it.
I just cryptically refer to the fact that I'm getting better at Instagram.
Yeah, all right. But Smart Money Steve has already spelled it out for us.
Is there an amount of money, like a percentage of one's income, that you should be putting away on a regular basis, or is it good enough just to have a sense of where your money went?
Definitely, it's good to have a sense of where your money went. Again, increasing awareness. Everyone's in a different financial situation. So depending on the amount of income you have coming in and how much you're spending on things like housing we just discussed, It is somewhat subjective. Now, of course, if you can target saving 10%, 20% or more of your income, that's great, right? Yeah, if you're saving for the long term, for something like a goal like retirement, using certain types of retirement accounts where you get tax benefits and trying to at least hit the maximum thresholds of how much you can save every year, those should be some targets that you could at least start with. Mm-hmm. But hey, no amount is too small. So if you're just getting started and maybe all you can afford today is $50, Eventually it turns into $500, eventually it turns into $5,000, more and more and more. If you focus on wanting to save, you create that intention, you'll find your way on getting there, or else you're going to run into what we call someday syndrome.
Mm-hmm, which
someday
is
syndrome.
So someday syndrome is this idea where you're always talking about, you know, someday.
You created your own next question there.
I did, and that's, it's a hashtag too, someday syndrome. I'm just saying.
Wow.
Plug number two.
Oh, yeah, that's.
Hey, doing it. Doing
that's
a dirty.
Party conversation.
Yeah.
He leaves something dangling that you have to ask a question about.
Okay, so you say, how are you? Go ahead, say
how you doing, Paula?
I might have someday syndrome. Would that be how I would use that?
Yes. I mean, it makes me want to ask what someday syndrome is, but I feel like...
I'll tell you later.
Yeah, now we've got nothing to say.
Okay, so it's not good for party conversations.
I don't know. Is someday syndrome something good to talk about at a party?
So what is someday syndrome?
Can it be cured?
I think it can be cured, and I think it'll be a great party conversation after you hear the explanation. Okay. So here we go, right?
Oh, there he is.
There you go.
That's a way of saying, if you'll just shut up, you're going to like it.
In apparently, a very polite way.
Yes. Apparently, Stephen here, and I mean that with a PH, doesn't need us at all.
All right, go ahead.
So look, we've probably said in a lot of points in our life, someday I'm going to do this, right? Someday I'm going to go work at Disney World. Someday I'm going to save more money. I hear that one all the time. And what we commonly do is we justify that by saying, someday when I start earning more money, I'm going to save more money. But you know what happens in real life? We start earning more money, and we usually start spending more money.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, this sounds really familiar.
Yep.
Oh, you're hurting, Paula.
I was, you know, making okay money, and I started spending more money. And then, here's the good news, I started a podcast, and now I don't earn more money.
Well, so then you can't spend more.
Exactly.
That works.
Yeah,
I guess.
This has really been helpful for my finances, having this podcast.
Right, yeah, no, I have to say, this podcast has kept me from spending too much money as well.
Yeah, I want to thank all five listeners right now.
Yeah, because you guys have, and by the way, we're going to be doing, very soon we're going to be doing that membership drive thing.
Yeah.
So that's when we're going to hit you up, listeners.
Yeah.
Because we are almost out of potato chips here.
Every listener needs to find at least five friends and tell them to listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone.
We're actually doing fine. We've got a lot of listeners now.
Do we?
I get to look at the stats. Yeah, we're doing okay.
What do you mean you look at the stats?
I got the stats. I look at the numbers. We're doing okay.
Are they on your Withings thing?
The Withings scale does not keep track of our listeners, but we have a decent amount of listeners.
Oh, that's great.
For a podcast that says it has no listeners, we have some listeners now.
All right. So you know what? Low expectations. That's the key to
that's
happiness.
That's the key, and Stephen could back us up on that, right, Stephen? Low expectations is your message.
If you set the bar low, it's a lot easier to pass that bar, move on to the next step.
Yeah, exactly. And
Stephen,
we like
how does the toilet work?
Well, you press the lever and the water comes in. It flushes the crap down along with the toilet paper, and hopefully you didn't get a clog along the way.
That's great. All right,
well, it's a lot like my light switch. I have to ask you one more question, though.
Okay, good.
When you watch,
I thought we were segueing out, but this is good.
So when you watch, that's very you miscued. When you watch television and there's those financial planning ads, do you feel like I'm all over that already? I'm like, have you seen the ads where there are people in a park and a man talking gets them to help him make a chart?
Yeah, I've always wondered how that actually works in real life.
Have you ever been to the park where they make the chart? I've never been.
I haven't seen it either.
Yeah, we have a park down the street from us.
Right.
There's
no financial planners?
No, there's slides and swings, and I've never seen anybody making a chart down there.
Well, that's impressive.
Because I watch those ads. Like, they talk about planning and how you were supposed to have planned. And every time, I'm just blown away. Like, I was supposed to plan? It really takes me by surprise.
It does. This feels more like an observation than a question.
No, I was asking Stephen if he feels, uplifted or reinforced by the fact that he has it going on already. When did you start planning, Stephen?
Believe it or not, I started planning and investing money when I was 13 years old.
No.
So I got a bit of a head start on that one.
Oh, you now you when make you everybody 13? Feel bad.
Yeah. I sure did.
Now you're like a nerdy,
I'm a money nerd. Hey, it's all good. I'll wear it.
Do you own a suit made of money?
I don't own one of those yet.
Because on late night television, you can do that. Isn't there that guy who was in a suit made of money on late night television ads?
No, I never saw that. You know what?
Money is made of cotton.
I didn't know that. I can't get past Flex Seal. yeah, this idea of thinking ahead is not something that I've ever been very good at. Honestly, I've been listening to the first audio disc of Hamilton for 2 years.
Really?
It took me 2 years to move on to the second disc. So the idea of planning ahead just isn't really a part of who I am.
That makes sense to me. The second disc is quite good.
Yeah, it was a hard transition, though.
Yeah, but you do get to the end of the story if you listen to disc two, is the thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you, Stephen Rochelle, for helping us save our asses and assets and invest them, too. Paula, what advice can you give our listeners about financial planning?
Hey, Rachel Van Emberg, our house band, if you could give me a little background support for my synopsis of Smart Money Steve's advice. Beautiful. First of all, do you know how your toilet works? Well, don't worry about it. You need to think about your money. You need to increase your awareness of what you're spending your money on, or you'll be flushing it down the toilet. Once you create that saving intention, you'll stop thinking about how your toilet works. You should spend 30 to 40% of your monthly income on household expenses, by which I mean your dwelling, electricity, internet, and water. Don't go there. Stop thinking about how your toilet works. You'll go broke.
Stephen Rochelle is a certified financial planner with Navaline Wealth Partners. You can visit him at StephenRochelle.com. Stephen, thank you for being on our show.
Thanks, Stephen.
The cat of the week is Tic Tac from Walnut Creek, California. Thank you very much, house band Rachel Van Amberg.
Rocking it.
You're rocking that oboe here. Paula?
Adam.
It's football playoff season, and I know you know that.
I'm so excited about football.
Yeah, I basically didn't watch football this year, but I do watch during the playoffs.
Yeah.
No, I excuse the head injuries during playoff time.
I hate football, but I do hope someday to be asked to sing the national anthem.
Well, that's where we're going with this, because we really weren't going to be talking about football. So there's a bunch of jocks turning off their podcast right now. Like, oh, I wanted to hear Paula's predictions for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joe Namath just clicked us off. His podcast.
No. So you haven't ever been asked to sing the national anthem.
I have not been asked to sing the national anthem, and yet so many celebrities, and I'd like, I have a podcast, so I would like to call myself a celebrity,
right,
have been asked.
Well, I'm going to say my thought is that one of the reasons why you've yet to be asked is because you do not sing.
Okay, that has been in my way.
Right.
Until now.
Right. Tonight we're going to change all that because we have invited on our program someone who can coach up your national anthem singing skills. Jeremy Frank is the associate chorus master at LA Opera and a part-time lecturer in the vocal arts and opera department at USC. So it's really like we're using a nuclear bomb to hammer in a nail right here. Please welcome Jeremy Frank.
I'm so excited to have you. I can't believe somebody with that kind of resume is here on Miranda Avenue with us. Is it Avenue or Street? Are we Avenue?
I don't think they've decided yet.
It's not really on a map. It's just
not the kind of place that you'd... Yeah, if you were to Google us, you'd...
Yeah.
You know, somebody did, and they sent me a little picture, I think it was on Facebook, of where they thought our studio was, and it's not... You weren't sending us this Miranda Street. This one's a different one.
it was a better, a higher class Miranda Street.
Quite possibly.
Yeah, look for the
Jeremy,
one with the
welcome.
Thanks.
Yes, thank you
Thanks
for
having
here.
Me.
Now, why is the national anthem, our national anthem in the United States of America, so hard to sing?
It's actually a complicated answer because there are so many reasons that our national anthem is super hard to sing.
Don't use a toilet as an analogy.
I think it's safe that I can avoid that.
Okay, great. So some of the reasons. I mean, it's a big range,
it's
right?
It's a big, big range. Like, if I play middle C on the piano, like this.
We have a piano here tonight, too, ladies and gentlemen.
Here. Very yeah. fancy. You know, a lot of, like, let's say we're going to do God Save the Queen.
Okay.
That only.
What makes you think we're not?
Oh, well, we might go there. Who knows? That song only requires really 8 or 9 notes.
Uh-huh.
I figured it out. Dun, dun, I wrote dun, it down. It's, it's actually less than an octave.
Less than an octave.
Less than an octave. Mm-hmm. So most.
Even a da 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 da.
Yeah. Da 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 da.
It's just a fifth up!
I didn't know that was. I didn't know that was God Save the Queen.
Wait for it. That's the high note.
Wow.
So almost every person has an octave worth of usable stuff.
Sure.
Our national anthem, however, you need a low C if you're doing it in C major, and it goes up 12 whole notes.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Even for, I mean, trained singers have about 2 octaves, a little more, a little less, depending on the type of singer that they are.
Yeah.
But for like civilians, people off the street, that's a lot to ask.
That's a lot to ask.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, it's a bad song.
Well, it's one of those songs that was not written, like the music and the text were not written at the same time. The text, of course, is a poem that Francis Scott Key wrote, and he wrote it as a response to watching a battle in the War of 1812.
Did he write it during the battle? Was he like out on a ship? I think that's what I...
Yeah.
He probably tried to sort of like come up with the tune that night, and people were like, Francis, shut up! He was like...
Well, actually, he came up with...
Francis!
Stop!
Well, he came up with the words that night. He came up with 4 verses of words.
Uh-huh.
And then he showed it to his brother-in-law, and his brother-in-law
was
like...
negative.
Well, he was like, you know what that sounds like. It sounds like this Glee Club men's society tune that they sing all the time. And so he thought, oh, gosh, the same number of words and the same number of notes, this kind of fits. We should just slap them together.
Uh-huh.
And that's another reason why it's a little hard to sing, actually, because there's not tons of thought given to, like, if that high note is easily sung on the word land of the free, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
That may or may not work for some people.
Just the whole anthem never works for me. But I understand you've got a couple of encounters with the anthem that you've enjoyed.
Oh, I remember one time watching was a basketball all-star game on television with my father, and Marvin Gaye did a version, which was the first time I had ever heard, like, the audience was audibly responding to his singing of it in such a way, like, it actually was giving people pleasure in a way that I have never heard the national anthem give. I mean, I realize it has significance to people, but I've never heard it really give people pleasure before.
Right. It was Marvin Gaye.
It was Marvin Gaye.
You're sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty sure.
Well, we looked that up, Paula Poundstone, and Marvin Gaye did, in fact, sing the national anthem at the 1983 NBA All-Star Game. Hit it!
Oh my God, I win!
And there's a recording of it.
Can you see by
all right. That's fantastic. No, you are not wrong.
Yeah.
What do you think, Jeremy?
Version.
That's a lot of pleasure.
Can you
for sure.
Can you teach Paula to do that?
By the way, my father hated it.
No, I'm not really that kind of coach.
Okay. But, you're gonna do well just to get her from beginning to end.
You know, we'll see what we can
do. Can we do that? Can we do that? Can we coach her?
So, you know, another thing that's hard before we start this, because it actually, like, you can totally screw yourself over right from the get-go with one important reason that the song is hard.
Because you start too high.
You start too high,
and
then nobody has the high
note. I thought you were going to say, if you drink a soda.
No,
we recommend that highly.
Yeah.
No, this actually happens
so
very frequently.
You should start pretty low.
You should start relatively low, and it depends on how low you can go. Fortunately, this digital piano that I brought with me today can do all of the hard thinking for me.
Oh,
so
wow.
I can play it in whatever key, and we can find the perfect key for you.
Oh, good. I can't wait.
But, you know, when this song was published for the first time, it was published in C major. I don't know what kind of chipmunk people used to live in the 19th century.
They were all chipmunk people.
They were all chipmunk people, yeah. All of whom who had a high G.
Right.
And very few of us do now. I certainly don't.
So let me identify another potential trap. Is that first note, or actually the third note, the say, is that the lowest note in the song?
It is.
Oh, good. So if you hit that note, you're good.
If you can, like, we will know right away if we've
hit on
it. So we've
got to find Paula's bottom. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, find my bottom.
Yes. Very important to do while singing.
Yeah.
So I think, I'm curious. Let's just sort of, I propose that we start here.
Okay.
Let's see how that goes.
Okay. Oh, say, can you see?
That's actually not so bad.
I don't know the
so
words,
bad.
Come to think of
that
it.
That is another hard thing about this anthem, because, yeah, oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light
what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming.
It starts with two extended questions.
Yeah, very extended.
Say, can you see?
Yeah.
And
then, who's in broad stripes and bright stars? Why are we asking questions? Tell us. You're there, Francis.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
This was really just a guy who could barely see that was on a boat.
Yeah. He was asking somebody else if he could see.
Say, can you
see? He was an oboist.
And the guy said, get your hand off my face. He said, oh, say, can you see? Okay.
So actually, that's not a bad start.
That sounded like she could go lower than that, and she's going to run into trouble high.
I think we should check it out. We'll go down another whole step.
Okay. Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed?
You hit the proud.
And then I forgot
the twilight's last gleaming.
Whose broad stripes?
Second question.
Whose broad stripes
and bright stars
through the perilous fight?
Through the perilous flight.
Or the ramparts
we watched.
We're so gallantly streaming.
Okay, that's great to this point. I would submit that now she's fucked.
I don't know for sure.
Really?
Actually, if
you guys could only see the look on our recording engineer's face right now.
He's weeping.
This is probably the most pain that he's ever been in.
Ray Horseman is not loving this.
That he had a surgery once without anesthesia, but just used a breathing technique.
Yeah. You know, I hate to contradict you. I have to say, I work with trained singers both at USC and at the opera, and I really was excited to come tonight, but I wasn't sure.
She can sing well. Yeah.
I've heard you make like vocal noises on like other episodes, and I was like, this
I have
is a
made
musician
vocal
lady.
Noises.
You have.
Yeah, and remember the time I went,
Yeah, I do. Actually, I do remember.
It's often hard to stop you from making vocal noises.
And I didn't know about the drum lessons. Had I known about that, I would have been
percussion.
Reassured.
So you are now feeling great about Paula's prospects to hit the rest of the song.
I think so.
All right, let's do
it.
You don't think that it's gonna go too high for me?
You know what? If it does, we'll just make the piano go down more.
Yeah, okay.
And the thing is, you know, when I was thinking about when you guys first reached out and said, hey, would you come do a coaching on the national anthem? I kept thinking, God, there's that high note at the end.
Sure.
The honest truth is, we're about to hit the high note.
I know,
in context.
I have anxiety already. Yeah. I have high note anxiety.
So I thought it was one high note at the end, instead it's like three or four high notes.
Oh, Jesus, don't tell me that.
It's Anna Rock and Red Glare, right?
This is like when I'm working out and the trainer guy goes, he'll say, like, do 15, and then he goes, oh, no, I meant 25.
And
all the life goes out of me.
Yeah. But, you're just finally spent, and he's put you through everything you're capable of doing, and he says, we're done warming up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. Or he says, that's the first one, and now we do five of whatever that series is.
You know, let me observe one thing, though, that you're doing beautifully.
Well, thank you
so
very much.
So one of the tricks of this, another trick of this
The money
song.
Guy didn't say that.
No. You win, Jeremy.
Yeah. Well, I haven't brought up the toilet yet.
Yeah,
there's
the money
still
guy
time.
Said, put your hat out. That's what he said. Yeah.
So one thing that's hard about this song is it's very angular melodically.
Very angular.
Instead of being like a scale where the notes are next to each other, we've got these big jumps.
Uh-huh.
And it makes your body feel tempted to smack each note with air.
Uh-huh.
Like this. Oh, Jose, can you see?
Yeah. But we don't want to use air?
We want to use smooth air.
Oh, dear! dick.
No. You definitely want to use air.
You definitely want to use some air. Otherwise,
what he's saying is you weren't huffing and puffing your way through it like other people might be tempted to.
That's exactly right.
Because I was using the breathing technique that Jorge uses.
That was honed from dozens of years of nonstop talking.
Yes.
That breathing technique.
That no, the one that Ray Horseman used during his anesthesia-less surgery.
Oh, that one. Okay.
So this smooth breathing, the smooth exhaling, Italians for centuries would call this legato singing, or singing where the notes are bound to each other, which is, you know, what that Italian word means.
You know, I used to live in Boston, and it's a small city, but there was an Italian section. And
the North End.
A lot of times the Italians would get up in the morning and walk by my apartment over in Copley Square, and they would say, she's doing the legato singing.
Oh, that's a nice legato she's doing there. Yeah. That's why I like walking by Paula Poundstone's place on the way to work.
So you're exactly right. That is what the Italians call
it. Such beautiful legato. She should sing sometime.
She should do the national anthem.
Yeah, of course, it's different. It's a different song in Italy, though.
Oh, is it?
It's even more legato.
Oh,
yeah. This is not their national anthem.
No, they don't sing our national anthem in Italy, do they? No.
They hate it.
So anyway, this legato, this beautiful natural legato singing that you've got going for you.
Oh, yeah, that's what I guess.
We're going to need it at its most extreme level when we sing high, regardless of which key we do.
All right.
Because if you bluster air at your vocal cords, they'll want to blow apart when you're singing high. And then your neck will want to get involved. Your muscles will think,
God,
I need
to help out.
This
song makes people tense.
Yeah. It makes
people
tense.
I don't want my neck muscles getting involved.
No.
No one does, really.
Yeah.
Really? You want to have that relaxed neck when you sing?
One of my New Year's resolutions was not to involve my neck muscles in anything.
I always perform concerts lying down when I sing.
Well, that's why my head is tilted back right now.
I'm sorry, you do know the Homer Simpson's episode where he and everybody realizes that he can be a famous opera singer, but only if he's lying flat on his back.
Oh, no, I've not seen
hilarious.
That one. Never saw that.
And in fact,
I just reinvented it here, but I know.
In that episode, he's lying on his back singing the end of La Boheme or something, and his buddies are up in the catwalks looking down, and they're like, oh man, Homer, you're amazing. You're going to be famous. And one of them goes, no, you're going to be opera famous. That is how I feel most of my life.
Oh, you opera know. Famous. Oh, yeah.
All right, let's get Paula to that note. I want to hear it so badly.
I can't wait.
So this is going to be, and the rockets red glare, but okay.
Was she before? She has to re-rack a little bit.
Okay,
right?
Let's go back just a little. Let's do, or the ramparts we watched.
I forget what we watched.
Oh, we're the ramparts. Gallantly streaming.
Okay, so wait, start me off again. Or the where are we?
I will just say
she just jumped out an octave.
I'm
she
in
did.
Italy.
She's singing
did
in
I
my
go
opera
deeper
or
now?
In my octave now.
Did I just go?
Yeah,
did
you
I
jumped
go
out
down?
And dropped down, which clever because now that jump up is going to sound really good.
That's right.
Yeah, it was because I disengaged my neck muscles.
Oh, yeah, that's what happened.
Let's go back a little farther.
Okay,
let's go
broad stripes.
Yeah,
whose broad stripes and bright stars
through the pear.
I think now I'm on the wrong note entirely.
No, you're doing great. Okay. You're killing it.
All right, where are we? Who?
I
want to do it like
this.
Broad stripes?
Whose broad stripes?
Bodies.
I want to do it more like a rooming house matron.
Whose
broad stripes are these? Get these fucking broad stripes out of here.
I don't come home after a long day. See broad stripes everywhere.
You kids, pick up your broad stripes and your bright stars. All right, here we go. All right, tell me what note it is.
Whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous night,
or the
ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming.
And the rockets.
And the rockets.
Uh-oh. Red.
Oh, okay.
I like that uh-oh better than almost anything.
It was like red, I had red. Just missed a sharp left turn. All of a sudden I saw a one-way only facing me. Okay. All right,
For my money, that is a viable solution.
Why didn't he write those words, uh-oh?
Because he wasn't writing them to the tune.
Yeah, that's right. So wait, where was I? I had this.
Yeah.
We're so gallantly streaming.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Let me find my notes. We're so gallantly streaming.
Wait, Ray handed me. Where are we? So gallantly streaming. Where's that? Who thought of that? Okay. All right. Where are we starting?
We're so gallantly streaming.
And the rock. Now, but I can't switch there.
I'm the rocket.
Yeah, you got it.
Bursting in air.
Your neck muscles.
Well, suddenly you're allowed.
All right, Jeremy, get me started again. Get me to the top of the hill, and I'm gonna fucking roll down, baby.
Okay, so we're gonna start.
Oh my god.
I can't sing this high to like get you in the right octave,
but I can.
Adam, you can.
Okay.
We're so gallantly. Help us out.
We're so gallantly streaming.
I gotta say, this is making me feel the home of the brave.
I say to my students
and the singers that I work with at work, I think one of the most generous things you can do in humankind, and I'm not joking about this, is actually sing for somebody else. Because your instrument is part of your body.
Yeah, right. It's my instrument
you're using. It's part of your body.
I gotta have my instrument
checked. He's a beautiful thought.
That was a very beautiful thought.
But it takes a lot of generosity to do something
there,
like that.
See?
Yeah, that was. Yeah, thank you for sharing your voice with us, Paul.
Yeah, right? And I thank you to get your broad stripes. Pick your broad stripes up off the stairs.
If I come across one more broad stripe.
All right, there's a part, though. Let me just, I know that we've completed the song, but I just
wanted a
refresher on what was the part. Was it Flag Was Still There that was very challenging, or was it Bombs Bursting in Air?
It's the Rocket's Red Glare.
Okay. Bombs Bursting in Air.
All right, do we just do that one part again?
Yeah,
just in case, you know. Yeah, because you know what? What if my neighbors have like a Super Bowl watching party or something? And right. They go, hey, we listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Would you, you know, they want to know that it wasn't faked.
Okay. So, Adam, you are way better at getting falsetto up than I am.
Okay, wow.
Yeah.
And the rock.
Okay, so wait, here we go.
I can't do it that way.
It's beautiful, Homer. So why don't I count us in? I'll go.
Okay, ready?
You totally are. So I'm going to count one, two, then we'll all sing together.
Okay.
One, two.
And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof to the...
Oh. Did I go down again?
You did go down the octave.
Oh.
You're singing more manly than we are, really.
All right, well, then where's the note? Tell me the note.
That's it.
And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night.
This is inspiring.
That our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star spangled. The land of the free.
God. It's highly impressive. I'm not watching football.
Now teach her to do that thing where she goes, free.
Yeah, that's not, that's not for civilians.
Do people do
civilians.
That? Do the people start on the low note and they go up?
Yeah, sometimes. Like, you know, it's not written. That's called an interpolation in opera where you you take an optional high note.
Usually. I do that with
and
taxes.
It's really showy in this song. You do that what?
With taxes.
You should have mentioned that to the first guy on tonight.
No, we weren't talking about taxes. We were talking about keeping track of your income and what you spend.
Right.
I didn't have to mention the interpolation on my taxes.
No, you did not.
By the way, let me just
legally obligated to mention it to the
because
government.
Because I love paying my taxes.
It's very patriotic,
It is very patriotic. That's exactly right. Yeah. And from now on, while I write out the check, I'm going to sing. And our flag was still there.
Okay, now, Jeremy, thank you so much for tuning up Paula. And Paula, having absorbed this knowledge and revealing yourself to be quite a good singer, what can you advise our listeners who might be wanting to sing that national anthem?
Hey, Rachel Van Amberg, house band. If I could have a little background music to explain what I've learned about singing the national anthem. You have to engage your neck muscles just a little bit, just enough to keep your head from bouncing around on the table. The whole thing involves planning. You have to start on a low enough note that you can get to the high notes. Oh, say, can you see? And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in. Totally relaxed neck right now. Or you can do what I do and just drift off on the high line. We're so gallantly streaming. I wonder how the toilet works.
Jeremy Frank is the associate chorus master of the LA Opera and a part-time lecturer in the vocal arts and opera department at USC. You can visit his website at operavocalcoach.com. Thanks for being on the show, Jeremy.
Thanks, Jeremy. You were great.
To get the Star Spangled Banner out of my head, particularly the Poundstone version, I think I'll tune into Maximum Fun to listen to a few of their other fine podcasts.
Hi, I'm Allie Gertz.
And I'm Julia Prescott, and we're the host of
Everything's Coming Up, Simpsons.
Every episode, we cover a different episode of The Simpsons that is a favorite of our special guests.
We've had guests that are showrunners and writers and voice actors like Nancy Cartwright.
I got a D-minus, I passed!
And we've also had people that are on the Max Fun Network already.
We've had Weird Al Yankovic on the show.
I was just struck by how sharp the writing is. I mean, that's no surprise because it's The Simpsons, but I mean, like, you can't say that about a lot of TV shows, particularly ones that at that point had been on the air for 14 years.
Find us on MaximumFun.org, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, smell you later.
Hi, I am Lori Kilmartin.
And I'm Jackie Cation.
Together, we host a podcast called
The Jackie and Lori Show.
We're both stand-up comics. We recently met each other because women weren't allowed to work together on the road or in gigs for a long, long time. And so our friendship has been unfolding on this podcast for a couple of years. Jackie constantly works the road. I write for Conan, and then I work the road in between.
We do a lot of stand-up comedy, and so we celebrate stand-up, and we also bitch about it.
We keep it to an hour. We don't have any guests. We somehow find enough to talk about every single week. So find us. You can subscribe to The Jackie and Lori Show at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, bye.
Thank you, houseband Rachel Van Amberg, for classing up this joint. Now, Paula, I understand that you have some non-musical gigs coming up.
Hard to believe, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to be singing in every one of my shows now.
I don't think that's a good idea.
So, Roanoke, Virginia, at the Jefferson Center on February 1st, aren't you in for a treat? Or I'll be in Mesa, Arizona on February 15th at the Mesa Heart Center.
That's beautiful. Just beautiful.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
they're lining up already.
No, they are definitely moving. Now, Paula, it's that time. It's Sardi time.
Sardi time.
That's our
theme songs, advice, reviews, Twitter, Instagram.
It's where we remind you about all that stuff. Now, you can write to us about any of those things at nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com.
Or visit us on Facebook at Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. And about those reviews.
Yes, let's talk reviews. Straight talk about reviews for our listeners.
Let me tell you something about reviews, you guys. You may not think it's important, but let me just say that after the first year of The Big Bang Theory...
The number one show on television?
That's the one.
Okay.
They were considering getting rid of it, cutting it. And then I wrote a review of it, which basically saved the whole show.
Wow.
Yeah. Years later.
Wow.
Right? The whole thing. Whole industries rose up around it. They have T-shirts.
There's spinoffs.
The spinoffs. The actors.
Your review is responsible for all of that.
A lot of them sent their kids to private school. And, of course, so there's paid money to teacher. So this is what I'm saying. You want to write a nice review.
The economy is really... Thanks
hinged,
to you.
Hinged on
Paula
Big
Poundstone's
Bang
review. So
theory.
If you want to be like Paula Poundstone and change the course of our cultural history, definitely go over to iTunes and write us a review. All right. Well, that's our party for tonight. And I have to say, Paula, you did very well at Party Conversation.
Thank you.
Yeah.
How are you, Adam?
I'm okay. Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone is hosted by Paula Poundstone and yours truly, Adam Felber. Produced by Paula Poundstone, Adam Felber, Bonnie Burns, Ken Lezebnik, and Tony Anita Hull. Technical direction by Ray Horseman. Special thanks to tonight's house band, oboist Rachel Van Emberg. And thanks again to our guests, Stephen Rishal and Jeremy Frank. Our head of security is Scott Knives Reynolds. Transcription services for the show are provided by TranscribeMe. For your special Paula Poundstone discount, use code PaulaPoundstone when placing your order at TranscribeMe.com.
That's our show for tonight. Won't somebody please listen to me? Beautiful. I don't know why we would waste that on sports.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.